Okay. Yeah, all right. So this is still in beta. I think the last time we did something was October. October of last year.
Okay.
But yeah, the holidays and not really having played anything and there not being a lot of news to talk about. Not a lot of reason to do an episode, but I did finish, or I got what I needed out of Dragon's Dogma 2. I'll say it like that, because I don't think I don't know. It's questionable whether I guess I finished all the like post-game stuff, but I didn't like do it. Didn't like scour. I didn't get all the meat off the bones, I guess. I didn't do New Game Plus or anything.
Yeah, I didn't do New Game Plus in the first one. It was just, I don't know.
It seems unnecessary.
Yeah. Unless, and it's also just like way more fun to start a new character from scratch.
Yeah. Because you get to make a new, you just get to make a new design of a character. Because they're all going to like kind of, I guess the leveling up is different depending on how you start, right? And I feel like had I known the casting was like much better in 2 than it was in the first one, then I might have started differently, but I kind of just started the same way.
Start with a thief or with an archer? Thief.
Thief.
Yeah, because daggers was like so great in the first one. And but then they kind of ruined it by not letting you do daggers and bow together.
Yeah. And that's kind of a bummer. I mean, the only way. So I guess okay. Things I liked about 2 was the stuff I liked about 1 for the most part. Mm-hmm. I did think it was funny. You could be a cat person. And so I made a cat person, and I made a giant orange cat named Garfield, and I made a little man with brown curly hair named John Arbuckle. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Perfect. Okay.
And
I would have also accepted lasagna
as your pawn. Is lasagna?
Yeah, as your pawn.
Yeah, I mean, were I able to make a dog person, I would have made Odie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I guess I could have made Nurmal, but
and then that would have been like, you could have your excuse to just constantly throw Nurmal off of cliffs and stuff.
Right? Yes,
get out of here, Nurmal. You've got dragon's plague again.
I'm sending you to Abu Dhabi. Yeah. Nurmal's just like, I don't have the dragon's plague. It's no, you do. Get in the water.
I just came back though. It's impossible. Shut up. In the water.
Quit getting infected.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that was great. The addition of the like different schools of gear crafting or upgrading was like a little confusing at first. And I ended up just looking at a wiki. Like, that's the thing.
Because you're just looking like, at a wiki. What's the best one?
Yeah. I just go to the gear and I'm like, here's the gear that's available. What's the best one? Sort by that. And then like, look at the max value for different crafting. Like, what's the best one?
And I mean, the answer is it's always the damage one for a damage weapon, and it's always the magic one for a magic weapon, the elf or whatever.
Yeah, it's always the elf one for like magic bow or staff or something, and it's always the dwarven one or something you unlock later
for like everything else.
Yeah,
and then like the human one is just the one that sucks, and that's why they try to trick you into using it first by giving it to you first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is the one that's like good for both things. And it's like, okay, that's the worst one.
That means it's bad for everything.
Yeah. And like, yeah. So that was annoying because it makes you, and also like, that was another thing about the post game. It's like you beat the post game and you were supposed to like evacuate these people, and then you evacuate them, and then it's like, oh, like, where did my gear level up guy go? He evacuated. Oh, okay. So I can't do that when I'm doing my, like gear upgrade stuff.
Did they not go to the town center? Like your little, hovel?
For me, maybe it was bugged, but for me, they were like, we evacuated. So they left their zone. And then when I went to the town, they evacuate to, nobody was spawning in. Like some people from that place were, but they were like useless NPCs. So like my upgrade people were, or like the lady that you get the dwarven stuff from in like back Batal or whatever,
mm-hmm.
She was there, and I'm like, cool, like help me craft stuff. And she's just like, hey, how's it going? And would just like do like a generic bark at me whenever I try to interact with her. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no.
A quest you didn't do before you got to the end game that like made that broken?
I don't know. What I ended up doing though was finding a different guy who does the upgrades in a different place, because there's two of those dwarven upgrade people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that guy and had him upgrade some stuff. And then I just kind of gave up on the whole like gear upgrade stuff in general, because I realized I had nobody else to fight, because I already beat like all the bosses to get rid of the time limit stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like they do this whole like post game thing, and it's like, okay, now there's like all this stuff that is going to take you like days to find all of the gear, and then even more time to like upgrade all of that new gear.
Yeah.
But it's like for the privilege of fighting three enemies. But if you dick around to go find all that gear and upgrade it, then those bosses that you have to kill wipe out the face of the planet. And so then you're just screwed that way. It's like you don't have time to go find all the new gear to fight mm-hmm. those bosses. You just have to go straight to them and kill them, right? So that they don't spread. So they don't spread the acid fog, whatever, the all over the world. So you got to beat the bosses immediately, and then mm-hmm. you get to go find the equipment. And then it's like, great, now I get to use that equipment on like a fight, which was already too easy to bother finding the equipment for anyway.
Yeah, and I also like did the whole like Colossus thing. Like I did that so well that two of the bosses were already like auto killed by that Colossus mm-hmm. in the post game. So I'm like, okay. So there's like three guys I could fight.
I didn't even know that happened. Like there were supposed to be five.
It's supposed to be five.
I only had three too. I didn't realize it was because I beat the Colossus so bad.
Yeah. If you don't beat the Colossus as well,
you screw yourself out of future boss fights. That's great.
Oh yeah. If you beat the Colossus well, then you don't get the two other boss fights, so you don't get that like XP or whatever
mm-hmm.
that you would get from those boss fights. So there's just a lot of strange choices. I will say, like, I hope they make a three,
mm-hmm.
right? I hope they make a three and that they like add new big enemies that roam the world. Cause I got so tired of like the Cyclops, the Chimera, and the Griffins and the dragons. Cause I'm like, I already fought these in the last game.
Yeah.
And the golems.
Yeah, know. That was the thing that was really disappointing, was just like it didn't feel like the thing might, like there was that's why to me it felt like there was less stuff in the sequel than there was in the original. Because like the original also, like the one new thing they added, I feel like, was that Colossus fight. And that was like a one-off thing.
Yeah. And it was also like very heavily featured in their like marketing stuff leading up to the release. Yeah. They're like, check out this giant monster. And I'm like, oh, wow, crazy.
And that,
oh, that's the only time that happens. And
it was it was the only new thing, really. Like this, yeah. Except for the Sphinx, which like doesn't fucking count.
Yeah.
So like the other stuff, like, and that's why like the original game feel like it had more, because the original game also had the Hydra, right? And I feel like there's maybe some other.
Oh yeah. Well, this is what I think happened. Like they moved to RE engine, so they changed engines, right? My suspicion is that they had to rebuild the game in a new engine, and they had enough time to remake all the old stuff and add a couple of new things or something here and there. But most of their time, I think, was probably just recreating, like, all, like, paying, like, incurring all the tech debt of, like, switching a whole engine and having to make their mission system, you know, their combat system, all the grappling and climbing and stuff, because they're using an engine that's primarily, you know, it's called RE engine because it's made for Resident Evil, you know. So I think Capcom has pulled an EA, and like EA at one point said, like, everybody's got to use the Frostbite engine. It doesn't matter that this is an engine built for Battlefield. You know, Need for Speed team have to use Frostbite, and Madden team have to use Frostbite. And, you know, in the case of, like, I think it was Madden, it was either Madden or like one of the NCAA football games or whatever. But in order to meet the criteria of saying they used Frostbite, they wrote a wrapper for Frostbite that loaded their other previous engine for football into Frostbite and ran it under the covers. And so they're like, yeah, we're using Frostbite.
Gotcha. they created a football emulator.
Yes. Yeah, they basically created a football emulator. And so, but it's because they had that weird corporate mandate that it's like, this is the engine everybody should be using, because I guess they thought that was going to save them money. So I think Capcom might be in the same boat where they're like, everybody should be using this engine that we're all paying into, and everybody needs to use that now. And so you get Dragon's Dogma, and you get Resident Evil, and you get probably the next, like, Devil May Cry if Monster they make another one of those. Monster Hunter. I think a Monster Hunter might be using
I
that
assume
now.
It would
so
be
I don't
if
know.
It's the... If it's got...
Yeah. Because they just released releasing a new Monster Hunter soon. So, it's kind of crazy. But I think that, so, I'm willing to bet that's what happened. I mean, I've been in that position where we were working on one engine and then switched to the next iteration of the engine. And it was like, we lost all of our tools, all of our proprietary tools that we'd built up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I was on a project where we went from Unity to Unreal. So that was like, that's way more than going from like 4 to 5 or something, right?
Yeah, I mean, 4 to 5, well, it was 3 to 4 was a huge jump. You like Unreal 3 to 4 was huge. 4 to 5 was not as big of a deal mechanically, although, like, depending on if you started to use the new art tools,
like
Lumen and stuff, then things
got
really screwy.
Now everything's
got to
be done in the new Cascade, the new thing, whatever that one's called.
Niagara. Oh yeah, Niagara. All the visual effects. I love Niagara. That thing's great. It's so much better than Cascade. I'm not even a visual effects person, but that's one of the reasons it's better, was like we were able to get like much better integration of sound into the particle systems because of how they changed it. Well, anyway, Dragon's Dogma 2 could have been great. Could have been great. Yeah.
But yes, they need, if they make another one, they need to add some new enemies. Maybe get rid of some of the old ones. I don't care about freaking wargs and griffins. You could get rid of those and put in some new monsters.
Yeah, I'm not super enthusiastic about griffins because they don't do much that's significantly like different boring. From a dragon.
They're just like their thing is that they fly in the air, yeah. And it's like, okay, I just set them on fire and then beat them to death with a hammer. Like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so what I'm currently playing is this game called Weird West, which I don't like Westerns. And so the thing about this game is it's like a top-down, like isometric sort of game that has elements of it that are kind of like system driven, right? Like it's got stealth, and the stealth is pretty, I don't know, whatever, right? It's like you have
whatever. Also, did you say you don't like Westerns?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's not like that's a very broad statement. It's not that I don't like any Western. It's just that there's like exceptional Westerns that I'm like, that's a fun show or something. But like the...
Like season one of Westworld?
Man, I didn't even really like that.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like we talked about that before, but like there's a couple things that bothered me about that show. But anyway, like, oh, did you ever see Outer Range on Amazon?
No.
Josh Brolin?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's kind of like I really started to enjoy that because it was like, sure, here's a Western. And it's about like cattle people and like land disputes and stuff for a little bit. And then there's a time hole, and they introduce the time hole, and then things get really funky.
What is a time hole?
I don't know how to describe it more than that. It's a hole for time.
So like dinosaurs in the ground. And shit come out of it? And like aliens and lasers?
Dinosaurs don't come out of it. People go into it. I think Buffalo came out.
Is it like the Springfield mystery spot? Like you fall in and just like float around and there's clocks.
It's kind of like that, but you come, it's like a time wormhole where, if you go into it, you will be connected to some other like point geographically similar, but in a different time period. And also there's like you can collect a residue or something from it that has time juice on it or something, and if you eat it you like go into weird hallucination dreams, but also it has like maybe healing properties or something. I don't know
why,
like,
would you just really... eat random juice that you got out of a time hole?
No, you're eating random dirt that you got out of a time hole.
You said juice. Eating...
Yeah, no, I mean, it's got kind of a juice on it. Like, it's a dirt with a kind of a juice on it. Like, it's a
so
greasy...
It's mud.
It's kind of... Yeah, kind of. It's kind of like... It's sort of like a grainy, viscous looking stuff.
Like toothpaste?
Kinda, but thicker. Like a charcoal paste that you might, like a charcoal toothpaste, right? Have you ever seen that?
No, that sounds that's ridiculous.
That's a real thing that people sell though. But anyway, there's I think
you can put activated charcoal in anything.
Yeah.
And then just call it healthy, even though it's like charcoal's a carcinogen, but whatever.
Anyway, they like rub it on their tongue and stuff.
And they see, because it's they have just dreams. Mystery goop. And they're like, well, natural thing to do with mystery goop is to put it in your mouth.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyway, it was a pretty fun show.
It must smell delicious or something. Like, it's got to smell like cake batter or something.
It probably smells like... You know, you've got like a, like your smell is like a triggers memories, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what if these are memories that trigger smell, right? Like it's like, you know, like it makes you think of like some period gone, like of some bygone era that you had. And you're like, oh yeah, I should eat this. You know, this smells like the pizza at my fifth year old birthday party that I had. You know, and so you got to eat it and then you hallucinate.
Okay. So that's a Western you like.
Yeah.
But also that's like, not really exactly a Western. That's just like a time really hole exactly show set in the West.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess if you had to put a genre to it, it's a time hole show set in the West. So yeah. Just like Firefly is not a Western. It's a space show with the vibe of a Western.
Mm-hmm.
I like Deadwood. Do you ever watch that? No. That's a real Western.
I don't like Western. I'll be honest, like the last Western themed video game I can think of playing was Wild Arms 3, and that was on like PlayStation 2.
You remember that side scroller that was called like Sunstriders Riders or something?
Sunstriders. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sunstriders?
Sunstriders, I think, is what it was. It's like the the side scrolling like arcade Western shoot 'em up game. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even play the Red Dead games. That was just like, that just to me looked like GTA with a horse. And I was just like, no.
Well, I'll tell you, it wasn't just GTA with a horse. It was way worse. Here's the problem about me and Red Dead Redemption or whatever. Like, I don't like Westerns. I think they're really dull, and I think they could use an editor. And so, like, a lot of Westerns are...
Or a time hole, I guess.
Or a time hole, yeah, a time hole. Speed it up. Give me something interesting that's not guy on horse. Well, let me tell you, Red Dead Redemption's a really a lot of guy on horse for a long time.
I mean, like, that's how I felt about Grand Theft Auto. Just like, I mean, maybe if they took the auto part out and it was just, like, grand, I would be more interested in the game.
Well, so at least in Grand Theft Auto, like driving around, like you can like do like you can do some things, you know, you can like jump off ramps or like run people over, or, you know, listen to the radio. There's
so
like
there's
things,
no like horse ramps. Like, is that what you're saying?
There's horse ramps. If you consider a cliff, a horse ramp, there's like steep drop-offs that you can kind of like jump off the horse and have the horse run off of to its death. So you can do things like tie a guy to the back of your horse, right? And drag him around. And like, that's kind of funny for a little bit, but at some point you're just like running boring errands in like the middle of nowhere, like fake New Mexico. And, you know, they freaking make you, I think there's a story quest where they make you play poker. like real poker. And I was like almost done with the game at that point because I'm like, don't.
If there's anything you like less than Westerns, it's poker.
Well, if there's anything I like less than Westerns, it's card games, card game mini games in a game that's not about playing cards. And then when you make that thing literally just poker, then I'm so out. Like, I'm so done. Like, don't make me play poker. I hate it. And then they're like, play this poker. And then there's also like an outfit that's the only way you can get the special outfit is if you play enough hands of poker.
You just be like, do you have to win enough hands or just play them? Can you just like fold every time until you get the outfit?
I think you've got to win. It's either like a tournament or you have to win enough money or something. I don't know. But my experience playing poker was like, there was a button to like, just shoot the guy in front of you and like claim he was cheating or something. And like, so that's how I play poker in that game. It's just like
murdered everyone because they were murder. Accused them of cheating and murder them all.
Yeah. Like, I'll teach you guys to play poker or try to teach me to play poker. You're out of here. So,
well, I guess There's at least that most of the, like, you couldn't get a Gwent that way, I'm sure.
I don't think you can just murder the guy. Well, you probably could just murder the guy instead of playing Gwent, but I don't know. Well, anyway, Weird West, right? It's a video game, top-down, kind of a Diablo-like camera angle, but it's... It was... When I was listening to people talk about this game, it was pitched as, like, an immersive sim. And I'm like, I don't really feel like it's an immersive sim. It's got like, you can try to set stuff up, right? But the game's so buggy and kind of like busted that setting things up to do like interesting chain reactions, like almost always fails. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to throw an object, so one of the things is like you can shoot an oil lamp and it'll blow up and like set people on fire and put oil on the ground. But you can also pick an oil lamp up and like put it down, or pick a lamp up and throw it at a thing and it'll shatter and like set a guy on fire. And pretty much every time I've tried to like throw the lamp at something, it explodes right in my face. And I'm like, why is it doing this? And I'll like reload and try it again, and it's like, okay, that time it didn't blow up in my face. Why does it keep doing it over and over? And there's one time I tried to throw a barrel full of oil, which again, it's like a barrel full of oil, and you can like throw that and it drops oil splats around, and you can set that oil on fire and set people on fire, right? But I'm like walking over to like get the right angle to throw this barrel so it like rolls and bounces to where I want it and puts oil where I want it. I throw it and it spins like three times in front of my face and explodes on me. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's like such a busted ass. And that's like, I'm so glad that they have a quick save and a quick load, because you must use it. Like, you absolutely must use the quick save. Because if you don't do that, and they even have a tooltip that's like, hey, if you're going to try something risky, try quick save before you do this. And it's like, they put that there.
Because it'll probably explode for no reason.
Yeah, because the thing's just going to blow up in your face. The other thing is like, okay, so there's also like candelabras that you can pick up. It's just like the candlestick with three candles on it, right?
Uh-huh.
If you stand too close to a candle, it will set you on fire, right? Just you, though. The enemies can stand that close, not get set on fire. But if you stand next to it, you get set on fire.
Yeah, that's like things. That's a problem in a lot of games, like the flaming thing that if you get too mm-hmm. close, it's like your character just dies because they stood by a candle or something.
Like, yeah.
I started The Witcher 2 because after I beat the first one, like last night I played like just past the intro and a little bit more, but like there was a fire on the ground and I walked through it instead of around it, and he like set on fire and lost like half his hit points.
Yeah.
Because he like like one boot touched the fire for half a second.
Yeah. Well, this is like even crazier because like you can pick it up, right? Like you can pick up the oil lamps. And if you walk forward too quickly, you set yourself on fire.
Well, because that candle, you know, it's like a freaking blowtorch and it's just like blasts right back into your face.
Yeah. So there was a thing where, and if you walk that candelabra into a door, it sets the door on fire. And there's this other thing that happens where like, I'll pick up the oil lantern and be like, okay, I actually don't want to throw this. I'm just going to put it down here on the floor. And then you can have companions and my companions will walk over that lantern, set us all on fire. And I'm just like, Jesus, like, are you freaking kidding me? They just walk right over the lantern. So I'm like, okay, I'll use this to my advantage. I'll watch the patrol of the guard and I'll set this lantern down in his path and he's just going to kick it over, set himself on fire like an idiot. No, the AI for the enemies stop at the lantern and don't knock it over.
Does that mean that you could create a trap and like just trap them in?
Like trap them in lanterns?
Box them in with lanterns?
Okay. I need to try that. Part of the problem there is like sneaking around is like too... I would have to be able to sneak up, place one to stop him, and then sneak up behind him, and then place another one and see if he gets stuck like in a can't get out sort of box. I'll have to try that.
Yeah.
I have been just like dropping things off of like one story above them. And so like I dropped a candelabra on a group of guys and they all set on fire for a few seconds. That was pretty good.
See, you're talking about like some of the bugs and stuff with this game. I feel like, if you haven't played through all much of Divinity Original Sin, or you could do Baldur's Gate 3, like you could do stuff like that in those games, and it consistently works a lot better, I think, in those games.
Yeah, I mean, and those are, yeah.
I had like there was like a room where I found like I had scores of exploding barrels. Like basically anytime I found an explosive, I would pick it up and I would take it back to my camp and like store it in the chest of infinite storage. Mm-hmm. And so like I got to a point where I had like just scads of explosive barrels and things like that. And so there was like a spot where it's like, I want to kill everybody in this room before they know that I exist. And so it was like, through sneaking, I was able to like sneak around all of them and just drop barrels of gunpowder next to them and things like that. And then from like an overhead, like a rafter, I dropped down like one more barrel or something. And then like all these barrels of explosives and oil and stuff just blew up and flames and explosions everywhere all over the place. And it was glorious.
Yeah. I've tried to set stuff up like that in this game. And it's just like, not super effective. And then it like all of the explosions and stuff, even though I'm like hidden, they'll like activate and be like, there he is. And I'm like, no way you saw me. Like, no way you knew where I was. And yeah. And then I'll just end up getting into combat. Yes. I don't know how I feel about this game. It's, I gotta have like two options, which is like, make these weird, you know, trap systems full of like explosives or whatever, or like just do the boring like stealth thing where I like sneak to an area, make a noise, you know, get them to like get the AI to walk over to where that noise was, knock them out, and like rinse repeat for everybody in the zone until I have a stack of bodies in a corner that I've looted, you know. I did finish like one, there's like five stories or something that you can do. And so like I finished one run and now I'm on the next one where I play as a different character. And oh, the other thing about this game is it's got like leveled loot stuff, not leveled, but like loot grading and crafting and upgrade stuff. And so I've like spent all this time and money like upgrading gear for the first person I was using. And then I, you know, go, I beat, you know, that person's story. And there's like an optional like side quest where they're like, hey, maybe you want to go find that other last person you were. And so I go find them and I get all my stuff back and I'm like, man, that's not optional. like that's how the, that's how you get like the horse you bought back, like the bank storage and stuff you, you had, like all of the gear that you had upgraded and collected and stuff over time. Like it's all in that other person. And so now it like transfers over to you as this new character. So yeah. I thought it was pretty wild that that would be something you might not do. But,
no.
Yeah. Oh, but it's, oh yeah. So it's called Weird West, I think, because it's got like supernatural
monsters
stuff in it.
Monsters and zombies.
Like
and
vampires and yeah. Which you rarely see. I mean, maybe that'll happen more as I go, but like the main villain of the first story was a vampire. But, you just shoot him. You shoot him enough with regular bullets.
Well, you mentioned, card games, like how you love poker and stuff, in games. But, so I played the, game. I assume you got it for me so you wouldn't have to play it, the card game. Yeah, so I played
exactly
Inscription, and it was I think it was a pretty short game, and I'm pretty sure I beat it because it didn't seem like achievement wise that there was anything on the achievement list that was like, oh, I didn't really beat the game. Like I got through the point where I unlocked another mode of play, but it was that was more just like at unlocking like a roguelike element and not like the really weird like meta confusion part of the game.
Okay.
But like the it's very strange. It's like the game is like the game acts like you're kidnapped or something at first, and you're like trapped and forced to play this card game with like some guy who's like a weird game master person. And so there's this card game element to it that you're playing while you're like trapped in his lair or whatever. But there's also like sort of an escape room bit to it. Like, there's cards that you can collect while you're playing this other person that will talk to you when they show up in your hand and they start giving you hints and stuff. And there's like little puzzles that you can solve hidden around in the room where you play the card game. Like while you're playing the card game with the game master, you can stand up and walk around and explore the room. And so there's like little puzzles that you can solve. And then there's things like I said, it's kind of escape roomy. Like there's a cuckoo clock. And if you figure out like how to see, like you can move the hands around on the cuckoo clock and figure out how to put them in the right position, it'll like unlock and that'll give you a new card or something. So it's like a bunch of like secret cards that you can pick up around because of that. But then there's also like other items that you can find, and some of them like help you play the card game with him. But then eventually you find like a roll of film, and he's got this camera. Every time he beats, every time you lose the lose a run, it was kind of like, again, the card game thing was kind of roguelike-ish. Like you'd move a character down like a branching path, and have to do all these different fights. And once you make it to them, you can get a hold of the camera. And if you've got the, if you've found the roll of film by that time, if you put the film in the camera and take a picture of him, then you win, like you defeat him. But like prior to that, every time you lose, he would take a picture of you and create a death card. And like you get to basically generate a card, a new card. And sometimes that will show up, like one of the cards that you've created will show up in your deck. And I think sometimes they show up in other players' decks. I'm not exactly sure. I had a couple of cards that like I didn't create that look like death cards, but then once you defeat him and you like beat the escape room mode, then it goes and like the screen blanks out and it looks like you're navigating like a menu of from a video camera, and there's all these like video clips of this guy who's got like a YouTube channel where he opens card packs and stuff. And so it's like, you know, like a couple of videos are just like innocuous videos of him like doing stuff like that. And then one of them is him opening a bunch of old cards from an old game called Inscription. Right. And so basically like there's a bunch of other stuff. Like once you saw the escape room thing, like then there's another version of the game that you play that's like a pixel art game, and it's very Pokemon-ish, where there's like four different bosses, and it's like one of them is Leshy the Beastmaster, and that was like the guy that had you captive in the escape room part. And then there's a necromancer person, and there's a wizard, and there's a robot. And then you find out that like the other three were the cards that had been talking to you. So like one of the first cards you get was a stoat, and you find out that the stoat was actually the robot. And as you progressed in the escape room thing, the art on the stoat got more and more like weird blocky shaped, and it looked like it started to get shaped like the robot's head. But in the pixel art version, like the Pokemon version of the game, there's like four, there's like this lore about these four different keepers of cards and stuff. And that part's even more elaborate. It's like it's got a lot more cards, and you can play like all of the different mechanics. But like every time you make like certain milestone progress while you're going through these games, like more and more of those video clips appear. But like, so like the meta story of that's told through these video clips for this YouTuber were like, he opened these inscription packs, and then one of the packs had been opened and resealed. And when he opened that pack, it had one of the cards in it had coordinates written on it. And so he went out into the woods where those coordinates were, and he dug up in that spot and found a floppy disk with an inscription, the inscription video game on a floppy disk. And then, so then like a lot of like what you're playing, what you're experiencing is supposed to be the video, the floppy disk video game that you're, that he's playing. So then there's like more videos of him like going online to order a floppy disk drive because nobody has them in the future. And like him trying to like contact the game company and ask them. And he asked like his YouTubers like about an inscription video game. And then it gets kind of creepy where it's like the video game company writes him back and tells him to, like, is demanding that he return their property. And then like some woman shows up at his house and is like very aggressively like trying to get him to admit who he is and that he's got the game. But yeah, I keep going through, and the game gets really weird. Like more and more, like craziness happens. If you beat the Pokemon thing, then you get another escape room thing like the first one, but this time the robot has taken over instead of the beast guy. And it's very similar, but with the robot cards instead of the Beastman cards. But then, eventually it kind of all falls apart. And then, like, the last couple of videos you get are him, like, hiding in his room because he hears, like, a weird noise. And then, he gets up and he somebody's back in his house. And he gets up and he walks towards the door, and it's that woman from before comes in, and then like he collapses, like she aims a gun at him and shoots at him, and then like the camera collapses and you just see a pool of blood and she walks off, and then that's how it ends. Like that's the last, like that's the end of the story.
Oh,
so
well, all right, was it enjoyable?
I mean, the card game was interesting. Like, I kind of preferred the Pokemon part of the game. Like, that was my favorite part because you had a lot more control over, like, what cards were in your deck and stuff. I mean, it was fine. The robot one, it actually felt like the hardest part was the first one because it was like an endurance thing. We had to, like, survive all the way to the end. And then all of the other ones had, like, mechanics for you to respawn, or if you lost the game it didn't matter as much. So the highest stakes was really the very first guy, and then once you beat him everything else was downhill. It was just so much easier to get through the rest of it. It was just a matter of just taking the time to do it, really.
Well, I'm glad you played it and not me. I just don't care for card games most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
What is this AI thing you've got here? Is this that Muse thing?
Yeah.
So I read some of this. This is the Xbox's Muse generative AI model for gameplay. And it was just like this, like many things that is generative AI, seems kind of worthless.
Yeah, I don't understand what it is. Like, I was trying, like, all they show is just a couple of video clips of stuff, right? And I feel like all it is an AI system that, like, tries to create videos of a plausible video game. And that's all it does, which to me makes it, like, just a tool for creating Kickstarter scams.
Yeah. Well, when I skimmed through some of this and was like, saw like, you know, the six or the nine, you know, GIFs of gameplay that they generated, I'm like, oh, great. They scoured the internet and had it generate an Overwatch clone.
Well, no, they scoured their own Overwatch clone to generate the Overwatch clone.
Yeah, somebody at work corrected me and they're like, no, it's this game. And I'm like, wow, that's even worse. Yeah. So like, it's like all it is like using a bunch of footage from their own game and they're having an AI try to make more footage of it.
Right, but it's just video. Like, I don't understand how you can call it I feel like any generative video AI could do that. Just say, like, just it's basically just a video with a hit point bar on the screen the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be just as like goofy and sloppy and full of like hallucinations and stuff that any other like video AI thing does. But I mean, like, there's like a couple of things that they claim in this, which is like, it'll help empower creators to like with ideation. And I'm like, we don't need that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't.
Well, I mean, the AI, like, we're in, I feel like we're in just about the worst part of the AI thing. Like, the, maybe not the worst, but like the second worst part. We're like the stage of the AI thing where it's like every company feels like they've got to put AI shit in all their shit, right? Like, you know that there's like Microsoft, like it's like Clippy gone fucking bonkers, right? Like, all it's Gemini, this Gemini crap is all over Google everything now. Like, you can't write an email or edit a Google Doc or anything without Gemini getting all up in your business, trying to like summarize an email for you. That's like once like, oh yeah, do your worst, Gemini. How are you going to summarize one sentence? You know, and then like, yeah, so you know that like Microsoft Office is the same way. Like, hey, let's Clippy the hell out of this and try to write your dissertation for you or whatever. And
yeah, like Office is already like Teams and stuff is trying to say like, yeah, instead of writing something, have Copilot like assume what you're trying to write.
Right. Yeah. And then it's like, I'm sure Teams is like, hey, why don't we, we were already recording your entire conversation. How about if we create a transcript for you as well? You know, or something like that. And
yeah. And I've seen people and like heard other people in other industries that are like, yeah, I had Teams make a transcript of the meeting for me. And then I had to watch the video and make sure that the notes that it took was actually accurate. So it saved me zero time. In fact, it actually wasted my time because you have to verify that it's accurate.
Or you could have just been typing notes while the meeting was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But it's like, that's the thing. It's like every company, it's like, well, we've got to do AI so we don't fall behind, even though it's completely worthless. Like fucking Facebook has these like, summaries of shit. Like somebody will post something like, you know, they'll say like, you know, I think Elon Musk needs to shove his butt up his own butt. And then Meta will be like, learn more about Elon Musk's butt. And it's just like, what? How is this helping? How is this AI useful?
It's just such a weird fad that like so many tech companies invested a bunch of money into thinking it would solve human labor so that they that's my
assumption. Yeah, you know, the goal is to have zero employees for every company that way they don't have to pay anybody, but then you know and yeah, so there's no consumers anywhere because no one has either money, so
yes. Oh, you forgot the part where there's like a cycle of goods, like you know, like you do work to make money so that you can purchase goods and services that are produced by, you know, another company that produced that's how the cycle works.
No, not in the future, but just to all be that, the people that'll at the all top are like AI too. AI will buy all of the products
for I guess. So what you're saying is the goal is the Matrix, right? They watch the Matrix and they're like, we don't have to have people work. We just have to put people into pods where they generate with a form of fusion enough energy to power, you know, some fantasy world or whatever that they live in, where they work menial jobs. and then I don't know what the rich people do after that. But yeah, it makes no sense. The concept of like having an AI like pitch game ideas or something, it's just like so fruitless because it's like, wait a minute, all of your information is coming from the internet. Like, I could already go to Reddit and get a bunch of bad ideas for video games.
But
like, you're not saving anybody.
But like you said about the whole, you know, game companies investing in technology and then forcing people to use it, like with the engine stuff. I can just imagine in the future for like Bethesda to greenlight Elder Scrolls 7, they're going to have to create an ideation video in Muse to pitch to Microsoft to get funding for it. It'll be like required part of the greenlight process.
Oh gosh. They've got to run the prompt through the AI generation thing to be like, here it is. Here's, you know, Elder Scrolls 7. It's just
a bunch of videos of like fucking Oblivion.
It's Oblivion. It's just Oblivion game, you know, video, but like, All of the faces are like weird and melty and shaky.
Yeah, and like people have like three fingers and six arms, and yeah,
and like their arm like suddenly turns into a sword as they're like moving forward. Yes. Yeah, it'll be that.
Like, so will the T-1000 like morphing characters be part of the gameplay? Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's a new type of Daedra.
God, yeah. And then there was like some quote in here about like trying to use it for like game preservation or something, where there was some like ambiguous quote like, you know, old games can't run on newer hardware, and so we're using AI to like convert classic games are tied to aging hardware. Thanks to this breakthrough, we're exploring the potential for Muse to take old back catalog games from our studios and optimize them for any device. What? Like, they're like, yeah, we're going to have the AI write an emulator.
Yeah.
Good luck. Meanwhile, we're going to slap huge, you know, lawsuits and cease and desists on the people actually making those emulators.
So you had something about the Switch 2. Like, what were your thoughts on that? I haven't really looked too much into whatever the Switch 2 is promising to be.
Well, that was part of it. Is like the Switch 2 was announced, and there was a video, and their announcement video was like really, I felt really lackluster, because it was basically like, yeah, it's that thing everybody said they wanted, like a better Switch 2 or a better Switch. It's the Switch. But it runs better. We promise this time. Also, here's Mario Kart. And as somebody who's never bought Mario Kart, I'm like, I don't care about Mario Kart. But I guess like talking to other Switch owners, like I am the only person who never bought Mario Kart for my Switch.
I never bought Mario Kart. I've never bought a Mario Kart ever.
Yeah, same. Or like it's you and me are the only people. Yeah, like we. That's why our controllers still work for the N64, because we never bought Mario Party, and we've never bought Mario Kart, and so yeah. That was going to be my spiel. Was like this. My Switch has been kind of collecting dust. Like, after I beat Super Mario All-Star Remake, not Super Mario All-Star, Super Mario RPG, the remake of Super Mario RPG, it's just kind of been sitting there. And I tried to play Super Mario Wonder for a bit and kind of lost interest in it. And so Switch 2 is here, and I'm like, okay, I guess, but like, maybe I'm interested in Zelda, another Zelda.
Yeah, I so when I got sick, I started to play I finally started to play Tears of the Kingdom, which I still hadn't played. And
it turned out
that my wireless controller had analog stick drift, and so I was like, well, fuck this, and I stopped playing.
Oh, your pro controller or your Joy-Cons?
My pro controller, so I have to just throw that one in the trash and go get a new controller, and then maybe I'll try it again.
Yeah,
but that was like, so I watched the video on the Switch 2, and it's like, well, at least you can still take the shitty Switch controllers off the sides and replace them when they inevitably get analog stick drift on them, which was like my main criticism of the Switch Lite, was that those analog sticks were just like built into the device. So once one of them started to drift, you just like smash that thing over your knee and just throw it away.
Yeah. Man, I was really confused by the Switch Lite, because like you can't dock that either.
I guess not. I mean, I replaced those. I'm only like a half time like user of like of it in handheld mode, and I've had to replace the analog stick, one of the controllers, like 3 times.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah.
And that's without playing Mario Kart and fucking Party or whatever the other one is you were talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I basically have as much enthusiasm for the Switch 2 as I do for like the PS5 Pro. Which is like, man.
So does the Switch 2 just play regular Switch games? It's like not, is it going to be like there's games you can play on Switch 2 that won't be able to play on Switch 1 because they're too hardware intensive? Or is it going to just...
Yeah. Yeah, it's a new console. Okay.
So
it'll just be able to play Switch 1 games.
Okay, so it is an upgrade.
Yes. Okay. It is an upgrade.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember all of the stuff they say in the video, because my little sub bullet there of, okay, I might care, was based on I got a secret meeting with Nintendo. So I know more that I can't say about the Switch 2 that I find interesting, but I can't talk about it with anybody.
Okay.
So I think people who are into the Switch are going to like a lot of stuff about the Switch 2, and more than just the stuff that is about that they like about the current Switch, right? Like
what would make the Switch 2 feel like it was, you know, actually revolutionary, is if they promised to basically just keep the same product store consistent in future devices like Steam, right? If it was just like, hey, guess what, we're, you know, if you bought, you know, Super Mario RPG on Switch, you know, the store front is going to be the same storefront, you know, it'll remember all of your purchases and will carry over just like Steam. Like, this is the reason why I think if they take disc slots off of consoles, I'm not going to buy consoles anymore, because I don't trust like those storefronts to stick around. And like, they're just going to be like useless boxes after a decade.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, the PlayStation, like the PS3 store has shut down, but the 4, since you can play PS4 games on the PS5, like that stuff has stayed around.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, but I mean, there's no guarantee that like when they make PlayStation 6 that any of that stuff will matter, right?
That's true, though. My speculation there is that now that they've got 2 console generations on a basically non-unique, like PC-esque spec, like both the Xbox and the PlayStation are like, you can buy hardware equivalents from a PC thing. It's not some weird bespoke like system on a chip thing. that I don't think they're going to abandon that all that in much in the near future, right? But yeah, I'm also kind of wary of digital sales or console sales in general for a similar reason. But
I mean, that's the main reason why I'm just kind of like meh about the Switch. Like the only, like, honestly, like the Nintendo one is maybe the only one, like the only new console that I might get in the next generation, because I can guarantee that those won't be available on Steam. Like everything that I want to play for PlayStation is.
Mm-hmm. And they keep killing emulators for the Switch. So, you know,
like if I really want to play some of the Nintendo games, then I will have to get the Switch. But I mean, I honestly haven't really been keeping up with those. Like pretty much it's Zelda is the only one. Like I don't even remember the last Mario game that I played.
I mean, there's only the one. There's Mario Odyssey.
But the one with the hat?
Uh-huh. I guess there's the, well, there's the like XCOM Mario game that I played one of those. That was all right.
Mario XCOM?
Yeah.
Like build a base and fight aliens?
It's like tactical turn-based.
Is that the one where you have to kill all the rabbits?
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Yeah, there's like games with Mario characters in them. Like a golf game and a soccer game and shit like that. But that's not a Mario game.
Yeah, sure.
That's just like saying Mario Kart's a Mario game.
Was there new? There was like new Paper Mario stuff though, right? Like isn't...
I think so.
Isn't
yeah.
that kind of the like Super Mario RPG
Yeah, that's basically... Yeah, they're kind of tangential to the Mario RPG. And I like they're kind of turn-based things, and I think they have the same, like some of the timed hit mechanic stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I never really played the Paper Marios. Well, you want to wrap it up?
Sure.
What do you want to call this one? I feel like it's going to be something about
a time hole westerns.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time hole westerns.